So what did Jesus mean by this title, disciple? That's what we want to talk about every day at lunch. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go you therefore," and mathetusate is the word, "make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, when you look at that passage, actually there's only one command. And that one command, if you do a deep dive, you'll learn the one command is make disciples. That's what we're commanded to do by Jesus. Also, if you study that passage a little more carefully than just reading it, you'll learn that there are three different ways Jesus specified for making a disciple. There are three things you do. Number one, you go. You have to invest in the lives of people to turn people into what Jesus wants all of us to be. Number two, you have to immerse, baptize, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And number three, you have to instruct them, teaching them to observe all things whatever I've commanded you. So it's invest, immerse, instruct. And those are the three steps involved in turning someone into what Jesus wants us to be, disciples. Now, with that in mind, I want to give you a little bit of history behind our lessons today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. About 2 years ago, the eldership where I worship and work part-time had what they call off-site meetings. We have four a year where we go away from the church building and we spend all Saturday morning or maybe all Sunday afternoon, and we're just dreaming about and thinking about the work of the congregation, and they're marvelous. There are three of them that are business, and one of them we meet together and we just have fun. We go to Top Golf and we compete against one another, all that kind of stuff. It was in one of those meetings that the eldership said, "We want to be more soul conscious. We want to be more evangelistic." That's the word that they used. And so they began to kick things around. They said, "We want to change who we are. And we want to change how we are known." And they came up with a moniker, a title for what they wanted to be known as. And that title was, "We want to be known as disciples making disciples." Wow. And so they asked me, and at that time we were going through a preacher change. For 16 years, Dan's nephew, Dale Jenkins, was our preacher. Did a fabulous job. I loved Dale so much. But he and his older brother Jeff went into a unique ministry to help preachers. We were looking for a preacher, found a great one. His name is Chuck Morris. And the elders wanted me and our new preacher Chuck to sit down and put together thoughts on a Bible class that would help us become disciples making disciples. And so I said, okay, that's my assignment. So I went to Matthew 28, verse 19, where it says, "Go therefore, make disciples." And I started reading that. And I read something and I saw something after 50 years of preaching I'd never seen. Because I thought that passage says, you go, you baptize, and then those you baptize, you teach them the rest of the New Testament so they can learn how to be good Christians. That's not what Jesus said. He said, go, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I, watch this, have commanded you. Past tense. When I read that, I thought, hold up a minute. What had Jesus been commanding them? What had Jesus been saying about discipleship? So that took my inquisitive mind on a journey. And I really began to read through the Gospels, and I said, okay, what did Jesus say? How often did Jesus use the word disciple? You know what I found? He hardly ever said the word. He only used it 9 times, and if we took those 9 times, there are some verses, there are 9 verses, and there's some parallel verses where the same thing is said in another gospel. And then there's only one other time that he said it. He said on one occasion, he said, you go into the city and you tell there a man that the Lord and his disciples need this room for the Passover. You take that away, and there are only 9 other occasions where Jesus used the word disciple. That blew me away. There are 3 in Matthew, 3 in Luke, and 3 in John. And when I read them, I began to study them carefully, and the 3 in Matthew tell you how to make a disciple out of somebody. The 3 in Luke tell you what it takes to remain a disciple. And then the 3 in John tell you, here's how you spot a fake disciple. And so those are the 3 arenas of thought we want to investigate for our noon study. For today, we're going to be in the book of Matthew and look at the 3 passages in Matthew where we find Jesus using the word disciple. All 3 of them are in the same chapter, Matthew chapter 10. And so if you have your Bibles and you want to open it up and set it to the side of your plate while you feed your face, as they say, we can read the Bible together. But in Matthew chapter 10, here is the first time that Jesus used the word disciple. We want to see what Jesus meant by the title disciple. Matthew 10 verse 24, a disciple. There's the operative word. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant, doulos, slave, above his master. Now Jesus said, here's what I mean when I use the word disciple. I'm thinking that a disciple is somebody that is under their teacher. And so the teacher is here, and the disciple as a student is down here. And so the disciple doesn't tell the teacher what to do. The teacher tells the disciple what to do. In that verse, in the mind of Jesus, a disciple is someone who listens to his teacher, listens to her teacher. A disciple is someone who... But who's the teacher here? Do you remember how often Jesus is called Rabbi? What does that word mean? Rabboni. What does that word mean? It means teacher. Rabboni, my teacher. And if you're reading the book of Luke, it's not Rabbi, it is teacher. Jesus is the great teacher. I remember the words of Nicodemus. We know you are a teacher. Come from God. No man can do the signs that you do except God be with him. So Jesus is the teacher. And if we are to be a disciple of Jesus, Jesus is the teacher, and we are the ones listening to Jesus. Jesus uses the word disciple, first of all, in this way. In his mind, a disciple is somebody who listens to what he has to say. Take that back to Matthew 28. And verse 18, Jesus again said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. The word that Jesus used there for authority is not one you find elsewhere in the New Testament. Elsewhere in the New Testament, you'll find the word dunamis, power. That's not the word he uses here. He uses the word exousia, and that's a word which means the right to tell people what to do and what not to do. So Jesus actually said, I have been given the right to tell you what to do. I have been given the right to tell you what not to do. And I have been given that right in heaven and on earth. Now, who lives in heaven? The Father, the Son, the Spirit, and who else? All the angels. The angels are there. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22, angels, principalities and powers, have been made subject to him. Jesus is the one who has the power, that is the authority, to tell angels, you're going to do this, you're not going to do that. You see, I believe that angels are dispatched by Jesus into the unseen realm of providence to take care of us. Hebrews 1:14 tells us that. They're ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit eternal life. Jesus is in heaven sitting at the right hand of God, and he says to this angel, I want you to go into the realm of providence and take care of him, take care of her. Jesus has the authority to do that, and he's exercising that authority in heaven. Wow! Man, if that don't make you want to be a Christian. But then also he says, I've been given all authority on earth. That means right here, Jesus is the one who has the right to tell you, me, what we are to do. He's the one that has the right to tell you and me what we're not to do. And in his mind, a disciple is somebody who listens to him as the one with authority. That takes my mind back to Colossians chapter 3, and I read in verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts to which you were called. And then the next verse, let the word belonging to Christ, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teaching, what are we to teach? The word of Christ. Admonishing, how are we to admonish? With the word of Christ. In all wisdom, where does the wisdom come from? The word of Christ. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, doing it with thanksgiving. Thankful for what? What the word of Christ has to say about what we can enjoy. The word of Jesus is to dwell within us. Jesus says, when I use the word disciple, a disciple is someone who spends his, her life listening to me and living their life the way I tell them to live. Pause. Pause. All eyes up front for just a moment. Are you his disciple? Based on what he says a disciple is. There's a second verse in Matthew chapter 10 where Jesus uses that word. It's in the very next verse, Matthew 10, verse 25. It is enough, I love the way he put this, it is enough for the disciple. There's the word. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher. Again, Jesus the teacher. Jesus said, here's how I'm using the word disciple. A disciple is somebody that says, it's enough for me to be like Jesus. Watch how that verse begins. It's enough. In other words, that's all I want in life. All I want in life is to be like Jesus. I don't care what kind of car I drive. I don't care what kind of clothes I wear. I don't care how I look. You can tell that. It's all I want is I want to be like Jesus. Well, aren't we told in 1 Peter chapter 3:21 that Jesus left us an example that we should follow in his steps? That word example is interesting. It's hupogrammos, grammos, writing, hupo, under, and underwriting. When I was a boy, my mom and daddy would buy me coloring books. And they had onion skin paper between the pages that you were to color. Did y'all ever have coloring books like that? Okay. Some of us that still that have gray hair will raise that. Others don't even know what a coloring book is. Take iPad out of their hand and they're lost. So you take the onion skin paper and you lay it down over the page that already had something to color. Let's say it was a horse's head. And you would trace the bold lines of the horse's head that you were to color. And then you would have two pages that you could color. And so I would trace those bold lines and look back and I'd say, look there, I'm an artist. I just drew a picture of a horse's head. But it was that bold line, those bold lines already on the undersheet that illustrates underwriting. In 1 Peter 3:21, Jesus said, I'm the bold lines. And you lay the onion skin of your life over the way I lived my life, and you trace your ways over my ways so that the way I did things will be the way you do things. For example, Jesus said, put your phone on mute before you sit down for a Bible class. I'm teasing you, John. I'm teasing you. Jesus said, you do things the way I have done things. I remember in Philippians 2, verse 5, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Think and feel the way Jesus thought and felt. So Jesus uses the word disciple in this way. He says, first of all, a disciple is somebody who lives the way I tell them to live. Second, a disciple is somebody who lives their life in a way to where others see me in them. I know some preachers, and I don't see Jesus in them. I can't see through their arrogance and self-centeredness. I know some who call themselves Christians, and I don't see Jesus in them because I can't see through their selfishness and their immoral ways, even though they claim to be Christians. I know some who say they are Christians, and I don't see Jesus in them because I studied their priorities, and they can't even turn to the book of John in their New Testament. They don't know where it is. Jesus said, here's how I'm using the word disciple. A disciple is somebody who looks like me. So here's a challenging question. Do others see the heart of Jesus in you? When someone mistreats you, do they see the heart of Jesus in your response? When someone says bad things about you, do they see the heart of Jesus in your response? Pause. Jesus says a disciple is someone who looks like me. Are you a disciple? In keeping with the way he uses that word. The last time Jesus uses the word disciple is in Matthew chapter 10, this time verse 42, the last verse of the chapter. Whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. In this passage, Jesus is talking about someone who does certain things because they're a disciple. And a disciple is someone who gives just a cup of water to these little ones. That reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25 when he uses the word the least of these. Little ones, the marginalized of society. Who would those be? Homeless? Those that are enslaved by their own bad decisions, trying to rehab their way out? Those who are disabled, living in a wheelchair or leaning on crutches? I have a good friend a preacher who was in an accident 4 years ago, and it left him paraplegic, destined to a wheelchair. For several years, and he has a real cool wheelchair now. He pushes a button and that wheelchair rises up. It's on geos. And he's eye to eye. And I love it for him because now we can communicate eye to eye. But before he got that wheelchair, he was always sitting down here. And I always thought, everyone that comes up to this friend of mine and talks to him, they're always talking down to. You ever thought about that? Seriously? So when it came time for me to visit with my friend, I would always pull up a chair. And I would sit and eye to eye. Or I'd get on my knees and we'd see and talk eye to eye, and then I'd look for somebody to help me get up. When a little boy or a little girl comes and shows you some attention and they have a big old smile, you just pat them on the head, sweet little boy, sweet little girl, or do you get on their level? Show them some attention. The marginalized, those who have less, those who need more. Jesus says, you give just a cup of cold water to the marginalized because you're living like me. You're a disciple. Remember Matthew 25? Matthew 25. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. Thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. I was marginalized and you reached out to serve me. Jesus said, here's how I use the word disciple. A disciple is someone who listens to me tell them how to live. A disciple is someone who looks just like me by the way they live. And a disciple is someone who lives like me in that they see to the needs of those about them. Pause one more time. At this moment, the way you are living your life, does Jesus say, now there, that's my disciple? That's how you make a disciple. I told the elders whenever I sat down with this reading, I said, men, I said, we can't go make disciples until we are disciples. And I said, this doesn't need to be a quarter study. And you know what we did? We turned it into a year-long emphasis. And we did have a quarter study. And then the next year, we started another whole year. And our preacher preached on one of those verses Sunday morning. We have Bible classes only on Sunday night in an in-depth fashion. I taught that passage again Sunday night, and then on Wednesday night we came back and we met in groups, and in those groups we studied that passage individually. And we are bits and pieces, trying ourselves to become what Jesus would have us to be. And I want you to know something. It has completely changed us as a people. We're in year number 2. And it's changed us as a people. We're building on the back. We're tearing down walls on the inside. We bought chairs 3 times because people are coming and we're investing in their lives and we're immersing them and we're instructing them on this is what Jesus wants you to look like. He wants us to look like that, and it's changing us. It will. change you too. And so I went 4 minutes over.